The Port Game Day podcast is a weekly preview of Port Adelaide's AFL action. Make us part of your game day routine and tune in as you get ready to cheer on the power. Welcome back to the Port Game Day podcast, coming to you on the Port Fan Radio Network. I'm your host, John, and I'm stuck on 47 games in the Div 6 reserves. There's no friendly Andrew tonight, so it's just me and a shadowy figure from the Adelaide hip-hop scene and former winner of KFC's Kicking for Chicken. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day. How are you, mate? I'm good. Good to be with you. Have a chat.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm well. Footy's back on. The week's kind of really shot through. So it's Saturday Twilight footy once again. We're off back to the Adelaide Oval. The Power taking on the West Coast. It's a matchup between the 5th and 6th ranked teams. I'm sure we all remember West Coast being another team that we need to extract a bit of revenge against after a loss in the early 2015 season. Changes to the sides. We have Carl Amon, who's been omitted from the Power side, that easily accounted for the Lions last week, with Captain Travis Boak returning to the side from injury. The Eagles have actually gone unchanged as at press time after their 41-point win over Frio over the weekend in the Western Derby. So I guess just on that change, Jimmy, obviously pretty self-explanatory. What are your thoughts on the change, particularly with Carl Amon going out? Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I think he's a bit unlucky. I mean, someone had to come out and he was the one that was picked this week. So it was either between him, Sam Gray and Aaron Young. And I just think with Boak coming in, he's got the ability to play a bit up forward and adds a bit, obviously, in the middle as well. So Amon's unlucky. He had a good game, I guess, 2 weeks ago. And last week, he's probably, out of those three, the most inconsistent. He's good. His best is good, but obviously lets himself down in a few other areas. I still think, you know, he's around the mark. And, you know, injury to any of those midfielders, inside types, outside, I guess, I mean, he will come straight back in. But it just means we've got depth now. And he'll have to go and get a game for the Maggies and really, you know, just stand out, be best on ground, you know, really want Ernie's spot back. I don't think he's, I guess, let himself down. He just was unlucky this week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've got to bring the captain back in. And, I mean, my thoughts on Amon, I've never been a huge rap for him, but I've liked his work this season. Like, some of his kicking's been really good, bringing the ball inside 50. Obviously, he's still a work in progress, got a few things to work on, but I think he's contributed pretty well this season so far. And, yeah, as you say, like, there was always going to be someone who was pretty unlucky coming out of that winning side. So the way we stand at the moment, do you think we are at a full-strength side? And and I've put you on the spot here, but, I mean, who would come out or come into your 22 if we're, you know, at full strength?
You know, Aaron Young, he earned his spot last year and he was a straight-up first 22 player. If Angus Monfries is in 2014 finals form, I guess he may come into the team. They may look at bringing him in if he continues his good form. He'd be around the mark. People talk about Cracker. He's impressed in the last few weeks, kicking 5 goals last week. So he may be around the mark. Brett Eddy up forward, people have spoken about. He's around the mark. And Austin down back. I think we've got some good depth now. And then the young tools. I don't think they're first 22. But, yeah, you may argue Dougal Howard, fully fit, could replace, say, a Westhoff eventually. So he may come into the team. But I think, you know, there's a lot of players in career best form at the moment, so it's hard to really, you know, make a case for any of those sort of fringe players to come in. But, you know, I think if we can get the job done this week, you know, and those type of fringe players have good weeks, then they're going to keep their spots, and it's just a matter of those fringe players putting pressure on the main team.
Yeah, I mean, it's happy times really at the moment, because I mean, for all intents and purposes, we're basically at full strength. As you said there, like, Angus Monfries, if he hits his straps, I guess Aaron Young or Sam Gray might be one of the players to miss out. I mean, Dan Houston seems to be pretty solid, set in stone as a really solid backman. So it's hard to see where someone would miss out other than a severe kind of dip in form or injury. And as you listed off about half a dozen names there of guys who are ready to come in. And I watched the Maggies last week beat the Adelaide SNFL side, and a lot of impressive efforts there. Cracker, as you mentioned, showed a bit up forward, and I was super impressed with Dougal Howard. His athleticism is amazing, particularly coming off that ACL. He's trying to take hangers in the back line, and to have the ability to bring him in potentially as a forward, even though, I mean, they play him as a backman. We're a pretty tall side at the moment. To add a string to his bow in that way is pretty good. And big Billy Frampton as well was clunking a few. I'm a bit unsure about his tap work at the moment. Might have a bit of strength to add in that regard. But we've got plenty of depth particularly in the tools, and they're big tools. Like your Dougal Howard, Billy Frampton, Logan Austin, all these guys have got size for their position. Like you even think about Peter Laddams as kind of he's kind of our project ruckman at the moment, who's not getting much of a turn because you've got Lobie and Frampton doing most of the work. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with how the list is poised. And you've even got guys like Jimmy Tumpus, who's playing some good footy as well at the moment and getting hands on it. So the state of the list is in a pretty good spot at the moment, perhaps the best since 2014.
Yeah, absolutely. My only question mark would be going forward, looking at Westhoff in particular. I mean, how many good years of footy would he have left in him? And as a third tall, I know he's playing on the wing, but we seem to have those half-back flankers that we've been trying on the wing last week, in particular with Jasper and Matty Broadbent pushing up there. I wonder if Westhoff, if he continues the way he's going, he's obviously not at his peak at the moment. He's probably just on the downhill trajectory of his best footy. So maybe we look at bringing in one of those young tools later on in the year, perhaps, and bringing in them as a changing of the guard with Westhoff, perhaps, tapering off a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Westhoff probably doesn't have the high highs, at the moment that he has had in his career. And he's been effective, I guess, in a few games this year, and perhaps been a bit quiet in a couple of others. And yeah, I mean, Ken Hinckley so far has been the kind of guy who's looked like he's probably going to remain pretty loyal to like a senior player. And perhaps similar to Choco in a way that he probably hangs on to these guys for maybe a touch too long. But we've got the players to come in, and it might take just say if a Dougal Howard comes in or a Frampton and they impress so much so that they can't come out of the team, that might be what really triggers that decision there. Let's have a chat about the opposition just quickly. I mean, I don't know about you, but I found West Coast pretty nondescript since they got bundled out in the grand final a couple of years ago. I mean, they're sitting at 4-2, but they've got a significantly lower percentage than us. I think they're at about 115 or so. We're looking at about 150. Like us, they've knocked over Sydney, but they also handed Hawthorn their only win for the season, and that was a game in Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken. And they're still a pretty up and down team, and particularly on away trips. And this is probably their closest away trip, but you'd hope that we'd have a strong advantage as they have to jump on a plane again.
Yeah, I watched them against Freo and they were pretty impressive. So they've definitely still got some firepower running around both ends and in the middle. I guess their midfield is their strength with their big forwards as well that are probably what they rely on. And then you got McGovern down back, who's an all-Australian type. So, yeah, I just think they lack that intensity when they're away. They're not able to bring it for four quarters. And then, teams get a run on, they're not able to claw back into games. And it's really important for us to get a good start again this week. And if we can sort of jump out the blocks and hit them between the nose in the first quarter, I just don't know if they've got that intensity to play four quarters, especially away from home. Obviously, in front of their home crowd, they're really good and their record speaks for itself. But I guess in the middle, they're relying on a competitive ruckman, and it's just a question mark over whether Vardy gets up or not. So I think Ryder in particular is in career best form, so if he doesn't get up, he's going against Giles, and then I think we've definitely got the advantage there. But their midfield's definitely impressive. You know, Luke Shuey in particular, he's a gun. He's probably one of their best. And then you got Yo, who I think's been in their best so far this year, and he's going to obviously add some flexibility to their team. He can go forward, kick goals. Obviously, he's playing off the half-back line. He can break the lines. He's got that big body around the ball when they throw him in the middle as well. So it just depends who their ruckman is, I guess, this week will determine how they go on the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aware that, like, Vardy was under a cloud. I mean, I guess I'd assume that Jonathan Giles is going to do the majority of the work, and he's not quite Nick Nat, is he? So last week, I mean, it's interesting, he broke even in the taps with Steph Martin roughly on the numbers, but I think he really controlled the game from the middle, and he was third in the coaches' votes. So, I mean, obviously, his game was rated. Yeah, I don't know. Well, as I said, I mean, I'm not fully informed out West Coast. I haven't seen them play enough, but they just strike me as a team like we found over the last couple of years. I think that they might be kind of still trying to play their 2015 style of footy, which, you know, the personnel's moved on a bit, form changes, the opposition figures them out a bit. I mean, as you mentioned, the midfield is very strong with Gaff, Shuey, Pritis and Sam Mitchell all getting plenty of the ball. But I don't know. And I'll go into it in a moment, but I mean, the players get the numbers, but I don't know if the results are following, if that makes sense. I think Josh Kennedy is an example of that. We'll talk about him in a bit. I mean, so if we're sticking on the midfield, though, we've got a... We've got Travis Burke coming back, which is very handy. Adding to a midfield that really got the job done against Brizzy, and Chad Wingard certainly starred in that performance. And Brad Ebert will play his old club only a few days after the birth of his son, Leo. So congrats to the Ebert family.
Yeah, absolutely. A future father-son there. Hopefully he sticks around long enough to get eligible. I don't know if he is already, but... keep that Ebert name alive with the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Don't worry about that. I was straight onto the Wikipedia to check that out. And, Brad's cracked 100 games for the Power. So definitely eligible.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, we spoke about Wingard last week. I thought he was really impressive. Obviously, just about best on ground. But with his ability to run through there now, we've got a bit more flexibility. And that's why I think Aaron Young stays in the team and Sam Gray. So we can sort of play a wing guard through there a bit more. And, you know, we've got those big bodies now. We can match it with these type of midfields, especially, you know, West Coast having those big bodies in Pritis, Mitchell. They can sort of go toe-to-toe now. We've got a young ball in Sam Powell-Pepper, who's absolutely beasting it. And maybe this is another game against the Western Australian team where he gets up for. He was up in Frio's face from the first bounce when we played them here. So I guess maybe a bit of a revenge game coming up for SPP.
There's some sort of connection there. I think he was definitely maybe a West Coast fan at least, but I think he may have trained with them or been affiliated with their like reserve side in the AFL, in the Waffle. But yeah, for sure. Like that's another kind of task for him in his young career so far, and he's doing a terrific job and complimenting the likes of Ollie Wines really well. And, I mean, the midfield's looking good. I mean, just looking at that team on paper, when the Port Adelaide kind of Facebook puts the team sheet together, it's looking really good at the moment. And I don't know, I was just looking at the side before, and this team... you know, with the back six coming together, the midfield is really starting to strike form. It does have the makings of a premiership side. We just might need to find one more kind of game changer, and we're right up there amongst the top sides on the ladder.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're building, and that's the important thing. It's early days, and, you know, we're showing some form now. I just think there's obviously a lot of games to go before finals, but it gives us an opportunity to really fine-tune our team. And we just, you know, cross our fingers everyone stays fit. But, yeah, the back line in particular is looking fantastic. The midfield's firing on all cylinders, and the forward line looks like a cohesive unit now with Big Charlie up there clunking them. Finally looks like we've got some chemistry, you know, with him running around. It's just impressive how we're playing, and it's a bit of a test this week. You know, we lost these type of games in 15 and 16, and again, we put Carlton away, we put Freo away, we put Brisbane away. You know, lose those games in 15 and 16, we finish a dismal ninth, and we get labelled a Richmond. But these games this week, in particular, we have to back up, and I guess we lost these type of games and West Coast was one in round 7, roughly. I remember them running over the top of us, and we just didn't win enough games at home last year. So very important we hold down the fortress and repay the loyal Port Adelaide members.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing about this team at the moment is they just keep keeping on, really, for lack of a better term. We've come in against some teams that, like, with, I don't know, like, you've always you're pretty optimistic and confident, Jimmy. Like, the teams that we've struggled with, or, you know, kind of had those just gutting losses against in the past, like, I've always still been a bit wary about. But the guys have really shown up in most games, even those ones where you had, you know, kind of those narrow losses. And, yeah, I think they're obviously enjoying their footy, and really found some good team spirit. And our, probably coming with a more comprehensive game style and plan than perhaps we did in 2014 when we were all out attack. I mean, speak of the defence, which is number one in the comp so far as points conceded. And they've got a bit of a test this week. We've got Josh Kennedy, obviously, is the big figurehead for West Coast, and he is looking to secure his third consecutive Coleman Medal matches against us in his career. But that's for 4 wins and 5 losses. So, I don't know, is he one of those guys who's always going to kick his bag of goals, but it's just, you know, he's if he's not kicking the goal, someone else is going to, and I don't know. Obviously, he can win a game off his boot, but he doesn't seem to have really damaged us in the past.
Well, I'd beg to differ. I mean, last time we played him, I remember he had a child his wife was due to give birth, and it was touch and go whether he was going to play, and then ended up flying over late and ended up kicking 5. So, I mean, that was the game Tommy Jonas got rubbed out for that elbow. But, I mean, Jonas is in absolutely cracking form. He's averaging 8 spoils a game, which is ranked equal 4th in the comp. And Port as a whole, a defensive unit, you know, we're holding teams to, well, as far as one-on-ones go, we're really winning our one-on-ones. So we're limiting those one-on-ones by playing a team defense, which has been really important. So, you know, overall, the team is playing great defense, and we're actually keeping the ball in our half, a high percentage of the game, which is obviously letting the defenders get a rest, get their breath back. And then when it does come, they're really playing as a team and setting up beautifully to spoil, you know, and then move the ball, which has been fantastic to see.
And then, yeah, I mean, you spoke to Tommy Jonas there. Like, the thing I've liked about, particularly him and the other guys in that back half at the moment, is that just the way they time their spoils. Like, Jonas, like, his defensive style is very similar to, like, a Mal Michael of yesteryear, where he kind of starts off the opponent and just comes through and absolutely thumps the ball forward. So that's been his style so far. And yeah, we're really just shutting down teams. And there's been a couple of occasions, really, where someone's got away from us. So pretty much just a Jonathan Patton, I guess, and Betts for a few minutes in the showdown. So yeah, really good work by the defenders, and a credit to the back line, Nathan Bassett.
Yeah, but just in general, I mean, like that game against Brisbane, the amount of turnovers we created in the forward half, which resulted in goals, was really noticeable to me. Like, just the pressure we were able to put on Brisbane defenders, and they were shitting the bed and coughing it up. And in that first quarter in particular, that's what really got us the win, was we set it up in the first 15, 20 minutes, and that pressure was manic. And obviously, you know, they turn it over in dangerous spots. We've got enough classy players to convert opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, most AFL teams preach that full team defense. And I mean, that's certainly a Nathan Bassett style. I mean, just back on the Eagles forward line, Kennedy's surrounded by Darling, Lacroix, Cripps and Hill. I mean, they're all guys who can hit the scoreboard. But again, like this gets back to that theme I was talking about earlier, where I think they're like a bit more of a fearsome outfit in 2015. I mean, do any of those guys strike much fear into you, Jimmy?
Oh, look, Darling's one that obviously performs well in, you know, the minor rounds and then struggles in finals. He's been criticised in the past. Kennedy's the one, but I just feel like our defence is up for this week. It's going to be a different challenge to the Brisbane forward line and other forward lines. With Homsch coming back, you know, you look at the Greater Western Sydney game, and I guess we did struggle there with their tools. And this week we've got Homsch back in the team, which really solidifies that back line. So I'm pretty confident. You know, Lacroix, I guess we'll see who goes to him. He struggled away from Domain Stadium, so it'll be interesting to see who goes to him. But again, I think we've got enough different variety of defenders to sort of throw around and get the right mix. And yeah, I guess we'll see who Kenny goes with. But it might change throughout the game depending on who's getting off the leash.
And like all those guys, like Lacroix, Cripps Hill, they're all guys who like they play a style that I think we can defend pretty well against. Like they're all kind of medium marking forwards. It's those crummer like zippy types that I reckon we are liable to struggle with. So I think we match up pretty well with them, as you say. I mean, the other end of the ground, under Adam Simpson, like the West Coast kind of not revolutionised, but they definitely found a point of difference and a competitive advantage with what was the web, yes, the Weagles web, that's the one. And I mean, teams found that structure pretty difficult to play against, and they set up obviously with a bit of discipline, and like Jeremy Govan is kind of probably the person you worry about the most with his intercept marking. In fact, like you'd almost think that like Charlie Dixon's main concern this week is like the intercept marking of Jeremy McGovern rather than even his direct opponent. So that will be an interesting kind of tactical battle as far as like how we support Dixon. Obviously, Trengove up there, hopefully doing some work.
Yeah, I'll be fuming if I see McGovern get off the leash and get, you know, three or four cheapies in the first quarter. That just means our midfielder aren't delivering it correctly, or perhaps the forward lines aren't leading to the right spots. But, you know, seeing Dixon in full flight last week, it was really impressive how he moved. And I think some of the boys may have heard us comment on the delivery. I think that much improved last week, and Dixon was able to get out in front and clunk him. But yeah, I just look, McGovern is a gun at what he does, and it will be very frustrating if he's able to get off and intercept. But yeah, I think our delivery's improved now, and you know they've got others worries. You know, with Trengove back in good form, Robbie Gray up there, he's obviously going to create lots of headaches. And the midfield, it's just a matter of how we go on the midfield. If we're out, lace out, you know, we're going to do all right. But if, you know, it's a quick bang it on the boot and hope, you know, we may fall into the trap of what the Eagles have been able to do with their web. So just depends. But, you know, we've been able to hold it down there, which has been impressive. And if we can keep it down there, I think we've got a much potent forward line and be able to kick a winning score.
Yes, I mean, you speak of the delivery there. I think, like, the addition of Chad Wingard to the midfield is probably going to help in that regard, because he's got that kind of nice kick which he can weight as well. Like, he can kind of lead the play to the ball and put it in such a position that they can take the ball out the front of their face and prevent the defender from spoiling it. So yeah, definitely we need, and that was obvious, something that was obvious last week. Dixon was leading and really taking the ball out at, like, in front of his eyes in places that the defenders couldn't get anywhere near. So hopefully more of the same to come this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love his ability. Like, we've seen it in full flight last week where he's able to pick the ball up. But even when he marks it and swings around on the boot, he's got that quick agility and can turn on a dime and really hit up a player on, you know, in the corridor. He's just so freakish with being so big and so, you know, weighty as well. He's really quick off the mark, quick on with his hands, and when the ball hits the ground, he's quick to recover. So he's definitely an asset when he's, and it's arguable whether he's in career best form. I guess he's had a couple of down weeks, but, you know, when he's fit and firing, we're an absolute formidable team, and I think it's really important again for him to get a good start, and when he does, we usually win.
Absolutely. And yeah, you just get the feeling he's kind of getting used to playing with these guys now, and really feeling comfortable in the setup.
Yeah, it was only a couple of years ago, you know, he's running into Chad Dixon and nearly knocking him out. So, I mean, we always said, like, it was going to take him a year to get, you know, chemistry and to get some cohesion with the other forwards, and it feels like it's all starting to click for him. So, again, in front of a big crowd at Adelaide Oval, yeah, I think he'll be really a big-time player and hopefully clunk a few and kick some sausage rolls.
Yeah, let's hope. So, I mean, we've covered a fair bit of the park so far, so I reckon we might get on to our six-pointers. And this is where normally Jimmy and Andrew will make some predictions about the game, but I think I might have to chip in here as it's just the two of us. So, Jimmy, give us your best on ground by Supercoach points prediction for this week.
Yeah, I'll go with the new dad, future father-son, Brad Ebert.
He took the words out of my mouth. I'm just going to back him in as well. Let's hope the power of our two votes of confidence will get him across the line. Leading goal kicker, Jimmy.
Yeah, I reckon we'll go Charlie Dixon this week.
Yeah, God, who am I going to go with? I might back Aaron Young to bounce back after a couple of quiet weeks. Yeah. Might get under the radar. This is a trivia question that I've popped in here. This is for the Jared Schofield Certificate of Achievement. Obviously, a former player, started at West Coast, had a decent stint with Port Adelaide, and actually finished off with Frio. Let's forget about that one. So, question for you, Jimmy. How many games of his 206 did he play for Port Adelaide?
I reckon he struggled with West Coast, so I'd say over 100, maybe. 120.
Ooh, very close. That's not too bad at all. 131 games for the Power, 91 goals, and of course a member of the Premiership side in 2004. So, nice one. Okay, crowd. Saturday Twilight. A good time slot. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a fan of it. You know.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Time to
head out and grab a late dinner in town and a few drinks. Very nice.
Yeah, I'll be getting started at midday, going with a bit of a tea chow feed and then rocking on. But, yeah, don't mind the time slot. You get a Sunday to recover, which is also good as well. So, and then there's a bit of NBA on Sunday morning. Thank you very much. Yeah, look, I'll predict, you know, 49th hour.
Fair enough. What am I going to go with? You'd hope, like... a lot of people get out to the game. I might go with 44. Let's go with 44,000. I mean, Port's up and about. You'd hope the fans come out and cheer us on. And finally, margin and tip.
Yeah, I'll take Port by 39 points.
Nice one. Yeah, I'll take us by 12 points. I don't know why. Just pluck that number out. I hope it doesn't get that close. Hope we do it pretty comfortably in the end. Let's flog the Eagles.
Bloody oath, that'll be nice. Get some revenge.
Absolutely, and just continue. I mean, to be 5-2, that'd be very handy. It's the China game next week, isn't it? So going into that, 5-2 would be very nice indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the boys have aspirations of making top four and getting that double chance, we definitely have to win you know, 90% of our home games, and, you know, Eagles are a bit banged up, I guess, or, well, potentially aren't full strength, so we've got to make the most of these opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to win 100% of your games that are against teams with the word coast in their name, that is for sure. Well, Jimmy, that's a short, sharp and shiny lap of the footy for Saturday twilight. Always good to be back at Adelaide Oval when the Power are playing well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, folks, stay tuned. You've got, you'll also have the Big Footy Power podcast preview. Get around that, and they'll be reviewing the game in the coming days. And stay tuned for all the discussion about this great club. And yeah, as always, if you like what we're doing here, give us a nice review on iTunes. It all stacks up. So, folks, until next time, enjoy the game and go the Power.
Carport.
Pear.
Pear. Go to Pear. Yep.
Take note.
Take note.